Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I'm so glad you're here. We're going to be answering your listener questions, talking about a lot of fun Disney topics, including a listener who wrote in and said that she just was able to change her hotel reservation for September from a family suite over at Disney's Art of Animation Resort to a Savannah View room at Animal Kingdom Lodge for not a big difference in cost. Is this common? We also talk about the Boo Bash and what to expect down there, and many other questions coming your way on today's show. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check out all the great free services they offer you for your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney trip. They'd love to help you with their great free services. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, thank you to the folks who use our Amazon affiliate link. It's one extra click, and it really does help support the show. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our awesome patrons of the Be Our Guest Podcast. You guys allow us to put out four shows a week here on the feed to the world, and I can't thank you enough for that. Our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1920 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you and welcome to, I guess we can officially call this the dog days of summer here in the United States in the Northern Hemisphere. And if you're down in Australia, I know we have a lot of listeners down in the Southern Hemisphere. Hey, sorry, man. I know it's probably cold. We'll be complaining about that before too long. So if you like us complaining about cold weather, stay tuned. It'll be here soon. Inevitable. We do it every year, so we'll be there. But hope you're having some enjoyable times outside. As the it seems like around here it stays light till about 9 o'clock. Take us with you as you do that evening stroll with the dog, or mowing the yard, whatever it takes. We love it when we are in your ear. And sharing some great memories of Walt Disney World trips and some new news and tips you can use. News and tips you can use. That could be our new little slogan if we need one. We don't.
Yes.
Anyway,
no.
Joining me today, because we're here to answer your listener questions. That's what we do every Wednesday. We have Ricky from themouseforless.com. What's up, Ricky? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. And I can officially say that this dog is enjoying the dog days of summer right now.
Nice. I have for the first time in a couple of months, I have Riley the super dog. Now, she's not super excited about listener questions. She's asleep right under me. But, she's in St. Louis right now.
That's all right. That's all right. So, yes, this dog is very excited about summer. And speaking of summertime movies, by the way, I saw Luca, which is on Disney Plus. So if you haven't seen it and you have Disney Plus, it's available. There's no premium charge for it, so you can just watch it, which is pretty fantastic. And it's a Pixar movie, so it's a full-on legit Pixar film. So watch Luca. It was a cute little movie, so if you haven't seen it yet, you should definitely watch it.
Spoiler: lives on the second floor, right?
What?
Nope, you didn't get that. Pam, did you get that reference? Come on, 80s song. You don't know that song?
Oh.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Okay, never mind. That was a bad
joke. What song is this?
Hey, man, it's still almost Father's Day. Here's the conversation I had with my family today, right? We're recording on Monday, as we do for the Wednesday shows. I told the family because, we had a great Father's Day around here. Hope all the Disney dads out there did as well. I told them, though, remember that if Father's Day falls on a weekend, you get Father's Monday because it's like the federal holiday. So, this year Father's Day fell on a Sunday. So Monday's also it's the official observance of Father's. That didn't work, but I tried, you got to give a guy credit, I had a great Father's Day, but I tried to push it to 48 hours. Didn't quite work, but,
it didn't go. That's all right.
Gotta do what you can. All right. Just saying. And hey, feel free to use that next year, guys. I mean, you never know. Maybe they're not thinking.
Could work.
All right. Also joining us, we have the star of PTL Pittsburgh Today Live and the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Wednesday, Pam.
Happy Wednesday. Very nice of you. Yes, they actually made it very easy for me to appear on the show. So they made me look good. So anyways, yes, but we, you know, it's weird that my business the whole time that it's been in business has been here, located in this area here, right around Pittsburgh. And what's weird is our business sort of went from national and then sort of moved, like, focused more on local.
Right.
I know. But anyways, we have so many great like shows and businesses and stuff here in Pittsburgh. It's actually an area of the country that, as much as I do complain about the winter weather, and Mike, you know, that is my superpower.
That is. I mean, if you're going to live somewhere where it's miserable, you got to tell everybody. That's the way I see it.
Exactly. But I will say there's a big part of me that also loves this part of the area, this part of the country, this part of even Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh's a really special place. And if you haven't been, you should stop by. You can chat with me and I'll give you like the top 10 things to see when you're here. But anyways, yeah, it's a cool place.
All right. Well, hey, let's jump in and answer some listener questions. Actually, before we get to the question, we have some feedback from Friday's show from my good friend Sue Walker. She wrote in a couple of days ago and she said, first of all, I had to give her more info because I think we talked about how you can go over to Trails End and get the counter service. They have like a family meal deal and then you can take it over into Trails End and eat in the restaurant. It's just the tables, you know, there's no servers or anything like that. You can just eat in there. So it's a pseudo Trails End kind of experience, which I will be doing here in a couple of weeks. I cannot wait because I've heard it's a great deal and it's fried chicken. I mean, talk to me. I mean, that's like a love letter to Mike, right? It's a decent deal and it's fried chicken. I'm in. So we'll be doing that here soon. But she wanted to give her 2 cents on when Disney will be back to normal, as we talked about on Friday. Her things, she gave 5. And let's get your feedback on this. She said, park hopping anytime. Not the 2 o'clock thing. Just want to hop anytime you want. I kind of agree with that. Fireworks at all the parks. I guess she's saying excluding Animal Kingdom. We never had them there. But you know what? I do miss Star Wars fireworks. Like, I think that if... here's the thing. I'm going to be down there starting on July 6th. So I'll be there quite, you know, soon after the fireworks return. I'm a little worried about my reaction to Happily Ever After the first time. You know, I'm a big, burly, tough guy.
Oh, Mike's going to cry.
Yeah. I got to focus. Like, I got to block it out.
Is there a way to get your tears
mess.
Out ahead of time, Mike?
I don't know. I know. I need to, like, onions, you know, or something. I don't know. So I'm a little worried about that. Even, what if Epcot Forever makes me cry? That would really be bad, right?
Have you seen Epcot Forever yet?
I have, and I liked it. I know. Okay. And nobody likes it but me. I thought it was okay. It was a fireworks show. People are too hard on things. It was fireworks in the middle of a theme park. How bad is it? You know, it's great music.
I told you. The first half is great. The last, third is the part, yeah.
Anyway, so I'll be, but Star Wars fireworks, if I hear, remember the one where it was like, Chewie, we're home? Oh, dude.
Yeah, it'll go.
That's just my heart to skip the beat to saying it myself. If I hear it again, fireworks, I'll totally lose it. Anyway, she also says Epcot Future World opening earlier again. I'm with her on that, too. There's just something wrong in the world with Epcot opening at 11. I mean, you're there when it's hot.
It.
No, it's terrible, because if you stay 3 hours, you're there at 1 o'clock. I don't like, that's my nap time. You know, like, I got to be there at 9, get out of there by 1.
This girl doesn't nap.
Because you get up so late.
Mike, you should just visit Epcot after 2, park hopping. You should always be park hopping to Epcot.
That's a good idea.
And Ricky, you just go at your normal time.
I just go at my own normal time, exactly.
That could work. You know, I might have to try that here in a couple weeks. Oh, she also says the Epcot monorail running. I don't think, again, I personally don't think we'll see that for quite a while, but... just because it's going to go right through that construction zone.
Yeah.
Bad luck. But who knows? I mean, it's a transportation source. And here's the one we talked about, email back and forth. Magical Express luggage transfers. Just one last time. Make it truly magical. I said, I think that ship has flown as far as the luggage transfer. Considering Magical Express ends in 6 months, I don't.
But are we going to have Resort Airline check-in? Because that actually was not something. So they actually had... folks from the airport, like TSA folks that were checking those luggage. It was sort of an extension of the whole SkyCap thing where you would check your luggage, you know, exterior. Now that hasn't started at most of the airports either. They do have them. I've noticed a little bit, but so I think that's something that was interesting too, because that to me was a huge benefit.
Yeah. Yes.
Huge. Being able to drop off your luggage and know that it's being checked into your final destination, as they say. True. So
that's a good point. That would be, I mean, that would be great if that came back.
It would be. But you know what? I think what happens is I'm so glad to travel, and I think most people are so glad to travel, that the things that would have been a bigger inconvenience for us, we're just happy to.
Yeah. Right. I'm good.
Yes. I think as time goes on, yeah, we'll be, you know, back to more like, okay, we need, you know, this. Right now we're just like, it's the honeymoon period again, right?
Exactly. We're not in the house. So. Also, I just want to say you're welcome. I did mention how fireworks would probably be coming back last week because I talked about it.
Yeah, we do that.
Boom. Fireworks are back.
We are pretty good at that. And I've heard Columbia Harbor House will never reopen. So there you go. So I just want that open before I get down. So I'm just going to say it won't reopen. You know,
Anything else we want?
Got to use your superpowers carefully.
Exactly.
But also,
for good, not for evil.
That's right. I'm not going to leave it on the shelf either. I'm just going to throw it out there because I do like that place. Okay. see here. We had one in the live chat. Let me get to it here. Julian says in live chat, any recommendations for making dining reservations at the 60-day mark if you're in the Pacific time zone? Thanks, guys. So that would be 3 a.m. You know what? Simulate like you're ordering your new iPhone. I hate to say it, but I mean, really, there's nothing much you can do there. And also, Pam, here's the thing. Okay, because I get this from guests all the time, and I don't have a definitive answer. As far as like the online system is supposed to roll over at the same time, 6 a.m. Eastern. But it does go early sometimes. So just I say get online early and then, you know, be ready to rock. You know, but most people probably don't even call in anymore, I wouldn't think. But
have your days lined up. I think if you have something that is really important for you to do, have it at the end of your trip, right? Yep. Because that gives you, you're going to be one of the few people who are able to access those days toward the end. If you're staying at a Disney resort, of course. And, you know, I think be flexible. I think, honestly, especially during this, we've been so many times since the park have reopened. I mean, really and truly, we have been. And I have absolutely found that being flexible and taking what is available has sort of led me down the path of finding some places that I really, really enjoy. And I probably would not have been to had it not been for this. I mean, or not have been to as often. So don't, I always am cautious when I say things like this, but it hurts my heart when I see someone weigh the success or failure of their trip on one thing, because it's so much more than one thing. And so, don't let that happen. Don't let some external thing be in control of the success of your trip. Your attitude really is.
Paradiso 37. and she
that definitely controlled Mike's.
It was fine. Yeah, I really don't meet a restaurant that I don't like. It's very rare. So I'm just saying, and I think it's a great, you know, it's a great opportunity. You try someplace like just really go on a whim. I mean, and it,
yeah,
the thing is, it's a Disney restaurant. It's not going to be terrible. You know, I mean, even like the restaurants that got terrible reviews, wasn't there like one called Captain Jack's at Disney Springs or something?
Yes,
it's probably better than most restaurants in your town. You know, it's probably better than a St. Peter's restaurant here, I would think. You know,
I never ate there, so I have no idea.
I don't know. But I'm saying,
probably. I had eaten there. Was it any good? I think it was a place that was around when Steve and I went on our honeymoon to Walt Disney World. And I think that's actually one of the times we ate there. And it was just like normal food, like a New England inspired menu. It was famous for a few things and it was what it was.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you, Bethany. Thank you in the live chat. She says, we love Paradiso 37 and it always has availability.
That it does.
I'm telling you, if you become a fan of that place, it's like having an ace up your sleeve, man. You're like,
right.
Watch this. I'm pulling out a 5:30 PM. Well, I know everybody else eats at 5:30. That's late for me. I'm like, whoom, 5:30 ADR. Who's got one? Me. This guy, 5 days out. What's up? So I'm just saying, you'll be ready.
I think that the dinner time when you're searching for Disney dining actually starts too early for Mike. Like, they or too late.
Late. I was going to say
Mike wants those earlier times. Mike, you should always be looking for the latest lunch available.
Yes, like where's my 3 o'clock dinner?
Yeah. Right.
Just dropping some. I'll drop some knowledge real quick on the next question. You eat where the old people eat. You eat when the old people eat because they go to the best places, they get the best deals, and they eat at the right times. I'm just saying. I mean, that's why I go to Gingham's here, the diner.
Oh my gosh. We bring
down the average age of that place so much. Anyway, Alex has a question. In what capacity do you think the parks are operating at, and what needs to happen for capacity to go up more? Have a late July trip and wait times seem manageable now, but wondering what they could look like by the end of that month. Thanks, Alex. Thoughts, Ricky? What do you think on that?
So I think that capacity is creeping up. I don't think we're going to find out like what capacity is at as we move forward. I think the thing that really is moving capacity to increasing is the fact that they are now able to remove a lot of those social distancing things that were keeping that was the main reason a lot of it for the capacity issues they were having. So right now we're seeing them going through the lines and removing, you know, they removed all this, you know, please stand 6 feet away, you know, stickers. And, you know, we're seeing pre-shows come back, you know, in places like the Haunted Mansion and
everywhere,
Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah. The Tower of Terror.
Exactly.
Stretching so rooms back. Stretching room Haunted Mansion.
Exactly. So they can start to put people in those spaces. So they, as they can fill up more and more spaces, literally fill in all the available space, they're going to be able to increase the capacity. So I think that we're seeing it as time is going on right now. Like, capacity is being increased. Again, I still think the biggest issue is the fact that they're still not quite there with the capacities as far as dining is concerned. And we're getting there. I mean, I think did I see Casey's Corner did open?
I thought you said that. I got all excited. It is not. I told the family, man. I was like,
I thought I saw it too.
I think Ricky gave me some fake news. But I said, we can get the corn dog nuggets.
Fake news. My bad. Get the corn dog nuggets. I should have done more research.
Pecos Bills has the corn dog nuggets. So
there you go. Okay. I should have done more research. My bad. I'm sorry for giving you false news. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, that seems to be a real bigger piece of the problem is the fact that dining just isn't where it needs to be. So I think once they can start to do that and increase dining, I think then it'll be, you know, it'll be much closer to where capacity was before. But, you know, again, in the shops and stuff like that, they've removed all the social distancing there. You don't have to wait in line to go inside the shops anymore like you had.
Yes.
So we're getting to a bigger capacity. So as far as wait times, I mean, hopefully it continues where it's going and they keep Fast Pass off because I think that's a good idea. But, you know.
Anyway, don't start. I'm just saying.
I know.
I want to ask Pam about this, though. But for folks that have been going for a lot of years and we kind of have our systems, like we're on autopilot, you know, we're like a Tesla. When we get to Walt Disney World, we just know what to do. We don't even think. We just go and have a good time. This getting, you know, the full capacity thing or getting the social, the physical distancing out, you know, getting rid of that, loading full capacity on the attractions, into the shows, into the stores. I think that is such a relief for somebody like me because the thing that was shocking me is like, oh, I want to run in the Emporium, you know, and grab something on the way out. And then there's a line, you know, like, has there been a line in the last 15 years, you know, so to get in. So I think the thing is, Pam, you know, I see this, you know, a lot of folks like, oh, I want to have my own log on. Pam and I had this discussion last night on our walk. You know, it's great to have your own log on Splash Mountain, but that means you're going to wait another 45 minutes to get on the attraction.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen on every attraction. Like, I'm cool with sitting with everybody at this point. Like, I mean, if I'm flying in an airplane down there with everybody, you know, I always say, take the vaccine for a ride. Let's see what happens. You know, that's just me. I mean, I got it for a reason. Let's go, you know? So I don't know, Pam, I think it's going to be a better experience as we move forward in the summer.
I think too. And I think some of the other things that will happen is that we won't see the cleaning need to happen as, you know, as often. That's actually takes a long time.
The cleaning on the rides, you mean?
Yes.
I'm assuming. Yes.
The cleaning in between, you know, different rides, and they had to do it at certain intervals and at different shows. And the other thing is, so you would think to yourself, well, gosh, that really only impacts like certain attractions. Well, no. If everyone's waiting for that attraction, there are still going to be those people in line. I mean, it just sort of extrapolates out, right? And it impacts all the attractions because people aren't moving through the park as fast and whatnot. So there's a lot of things. I think that we are past the days when we're going to see Disney announce at what capacity they are anymore. I think that ship has sailed. And Disney's typically very secretive about that stuff. And I will say it's a burden that's not placed on other vacation destinations, right? You aren't going to SeaWorld and having and asking like what capacity are you at and things like that. You aren't going to Arizona or even, you know, the national parks. I realize there's some that have reservation systems, but it's still not something that is, you know, they're not broadcasting as well. So lots of stuff to think about there. And I think too, you know, the physical distancing, there is something to the fact that having that space did make things load a little slower.
Yes.
I mean, there's a reason why they tell you to fill in all available space. Yes. And that's because research has shown blah, 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 right? That you get on the attractions faster, or you sit down in your seat more quickly or right. whatnot. So it's all geared toward being the most efficient thing. So I think as we see some of those things continue to be reduced or eliminated, that will help as well. And I think too, as we've always sort of pointed out, that one of the things that is the most important about you going to a theme park is not necessarily when you can go and how many other people are there with you, but how you move through the park and the way that you do things and to have some strategies. We've all been to the park on the busiest days of the year.
Absolutely.
Period, end of story. I mean, the parks were closed and we were already in and all of
that.
We
had a blast. So, we always had a blast on
great
those
time.
Days. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I cannot say that I'm, you know, reluctant to go back to that because I've had a great time no matter when I've been there.
And there's an energy when everything's, you know, when everything gets back. I mean, restaurants, every attraction, every show. It's just, I mean, like we walked over to the boardwalk and the boardwalk resort, obviously the inn wasn't open. The villas were.
Yeah.
But we walked on the boardwalk and we're so used to seeing, you know, in the evening, just like, you know, ESPN's got, you can hear the audio from the games. There's people milling around outside. There's ice cream at the Ample Hill spot. You know, there's people getting pizzas. But the thing is we're getting back, right? I mean, the boardwalk inn will be open in here in like a week. You know, that'll be open. So that whole side, everything will be open over in Crescent Lake area. They just opened that that little junk food stand. I don't know what it's called. It's got like the corn dogs. The thing yes. where we, during marathon weekend, that one time we're staying at Boardwalk, we went down, we bought one of everything and took it back up to the room because it was raining. Worst decision of all time. It was like mozzarella sticks, jalapeno poppers, funnel cake. I mean, all fried everything. Oh, that was the worst. Speaking of questionable choices, that was one. It wasn't even questionable. It was horrible. But yeah, it's, you know, things are coming back. And for example, like you mentioned, Pam, with the efficiency of the loads and the you know, the how full they're doing things, single rider's back. And you might not think single rider is going to affect you, but it does because, you know, you're running at probably a 5 or 10%, you know, more efficient load for every vehicle, you know, that's getting out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're not leaving empty seats. You're moving people through. So
absolutely.
Sure.
We're getting absolutely. There. We're getting there. And we're getting there way faster than I thought we would.
I mean, faster than I thought we would.
So yeah.
100% agree.
I'm happy. All right. Michelle's got a question. And also her son's down working at the Haunted Mansion right now. So giving us a breaking news about the stretching room. It's stretching and we're in there filling in all the dead space, by the way.
We need to hashtag the breaking news.
Yes. Breaking news. No, let's not. She says, why do you think Sebastian's is going family style? And here's my, I don't know anything about restaurants. I don't think I know about restaurants I like to eat there. Is it possibly kind of a labor thing? Like it's easier to make like bulk items and throw them in bowls and just put them on tables as far as servers and like the food. I don't, Pam, what do you have any ideas on family stuff?
I think that that's probably part of it. I think they're probably trying to ease back in and this is going to be something that isn't as demanding on the kitchen staff. Yeah. As all of that, I think that they're trying to sit as many people as possible. So when you go in and you order from a restaurant and you each get to pick your individual menu item, and that takes, let's say, 15, 20 minutes until the food arrives to That's your true. Table, that means that many less people that you can put in the restaurant that night. You have a finite number, right, that you're going to be able to get in and out depending on how long they sit at the table. Mm-hmm. And let's say that doing family style reduces the amount of time that each party is there by 15 or 20 minutes, if not more. So that's a possibility. I think the other thing is, too, that they're looking at what their guests who are staying in that area need and are looking for. And I think that maybe the family style does appeal to more people who will be staying there at Caribbean Beach and possibly Riviera too. And they're also looking to draw in probably some folks from some of the other resorts that are on the Skyliner. So I think that that's something that they're looking at as well. I just think that it makes sense for them right now. I will tell you, I would absolutely love to see them go back to their other menu because I really liked Sebastian's. I thought it had some great, you know, some great dishes, some unique things. And I think that the resort and that restaurant in particular are beautiful. It just really is. That restaurant was stunningly beautiful. So I'm glad that it's coming back and I'm glad that they're at least able to open in some capacity. And I will look forward to the time when they move back to their regular menu.
The good news, Pam, though, is with this new menu, all you can eat pull apart bread, yeah, which I perfectly agree. Rolls. You know, those little dips
that
and everything.
That was really good. Yeah,
I'm
sure.
I'm all in on that. So we're
and
good
they there. still have like the jerk chicken and, yes. and the things that were really popular there. And their dessert, you get the lovely dessert trio, which, no, I'm sorry, you get the the bread pudding, right?
Yes. Sounds
which
good
was
too.
Which was their mainstay there. So I think it'll have a lot of appeal, and I'm just glad to see different restaurants open. You know, we're getting an announcement like almost every week or every other week of other restaurants that are opening, and that's exciting, really, really exciting.
And you know, Sebastian's, I haven't been there, but I will be eating there. We got an ADR there for our July trip, so I'm super excited. We're staying at Caribbean Beach at the time,
good.
So it's perfect. But this place has the, you know, think about it, with the Skyliner access, and it's right there at
100%.
The hub, it has, you know, as far as a resort restaurant, it has the potential to be, you know, super, like a California, not on the same level as a California Grill, but popularity-wise, because it's going to be so accessible from so many other resorts, Pop, Art, yeah. You know, two theme parks, Riviera, you know, and all the Epcot Air resorts. I mean, it'd be easy to get to if this really kind of takes off. And it's only, was it $29? I mean,
yeah,
I hate to
I know,
say
that
something's a good deal, but
say.
Yeah, I mean, like, because yeah. they made the announcement at the same time, right? Ohana was reopening in Sebastian's. And I told Scott,
yes.
I'm like, dude, I want Sebastian's, you know, like, I've never been there. And, you know, the menu actually looked good to me. Like, it wasn't too crazy, but it was, you know, a lot of neat little things to eat. But when I saw 29 versus like 55,
right?
You know, when I'm thinking, you know, there's four of us, that's a big deal. That's a big difference.
For sure. That's what I was going to say. It's in Disney terms, it's like a bargain.
Right.
Right.
Really.
Don't
say
exactly.
It. Yeah. Shh.
No, right. Get in while the $29 price is there.
I this guess. Is true. Because yes. If it sticks around, it ain't going to be $29 for long.
All right. Yvonne in the live chat has a question here. It says, I booked a last minute trip. Let's see. Art of Animation was only was the only one available. It's for September. Just found out last night that Animal Kingdom Lodge became available at almost the same price. Granted, I'm going from a suite to a Savannah View. Well, okay, well, I thought you were going to say Standard View. Say Savannah View. Okay, now we're talking, though. I quickly changed my reservation to Animal Kingdom Lodge. I've always wanted to stay there but couldn't justify the price. I'm shocked that the price wasn't that much more than Art of Animation this time. Have I been missing out that this is normal? Not complaining, just feel like I've been missing out on prior trips. I've always assumed the deluxe were way out of my league on price. All right, talk to her about that, Pam. What do you say?
No, yeah, the difference between Art of Animation Suite and the Wilderness Lodge and the Animal Kingdom Lodge in certain room types, depending on what you're staying at, really is not that big of a leap. And the other thing that sort of comes into play is if there's any kind of discount, the way Disney discounts usually work is you're going to save up to, let's say 25%, right? Which is the one we have right now that's available for select dates. So you're going to save up to 25%. And what that typically means is resorts in the deluxe category are going to be saving that 25%, or the deluxe and the deluxe villas will be saving that higher percentage. But as you move down the different categories that Disney has in terms of resorts to moderate resorts, let's say that the moderate resorts are only going to save 20%. And let's say the value resorts, which Art of Animation is only going to save 10 or 15%. Mm-hmm. So it just depends. Every discount is different. And I can't tell you that that's the Bible of discounts, but I will say that that is typically how it happens. So when you compare Art of Animation getting a 10% discount to Animal Kingdom Lodge, which gets a 25% discount, that can help that price as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. And yes, you are missing out.
Right?
So.
Right. I mean, there's because the thing is, in the family suites at Art of Animation, what you're paying for is the size of the accommodation, right? You have a room that is very unique. There's not a lot of places on property you can sleep six, two bathrooms. You got Skyliner access over there, which is a perk. That's definitely a perk. But I mean, I'm telling you, when you go over to Animal Kingdom, and I think we're in a really unique situation, right? Because nobody was booked for September because you couldn't book it until, what, last week, I believe. You know, it's been like 10 days or so. So the thing was, the inventory was there. That's kind of the problem a lot of times we run into with discounts, right? You have to have X amount of inventory to even hit a discount. Because say, you know, you're booked and you say, oh man, the discount came out. Well, if it's completely booked, basically you can't get the discount because technically what you're doing is like rebooking. You're booking an available discounted room. And so that's just one of those situations where right now is kind of the perfect storm for Animal Kingdom Lodge because it's just now coming back into the inventory and there's probably a lot of availability where, you know, next September, will this be the case? Probably not. And, you know, if you've always dreamed about it, God, this is the greatest opportunity because you're going to savor every moment, especially because I thought she was going to say Savannah room, right? Or standard room, you know, going from like a, because that's where you'd be like, oh, well, I was in a suite and I'm in a standard. If you're in a Savannah, I'm telling you, there is nothing. I was explaining this to somebody. Well, we were talking about on the live show this past Sunday night. Eric called in and we're talking resort choices. And the thing about Animal Kingdom Lodge that's hard to describe to people is it's not a, like a super deluxe, like a Ritz-Carlton kind of experience. But what it is, the reason it's a deluxe experience to me is that it is a super unique experience. It is it's super nice. Don't get me wrong. The rooms are nice. The amenities are nice. Mm-hmm. The on-site dining. But where else can you sit on your balcony literally and watch, you know, zebras and giraffe? And I mean, they are literally 100 feet from your balcony. It's crazy. I mean, it's such a unique experience that everybody should do it once. I mean, even if you do it like one or two nights at the end of a trip. You know, throw it in
and
there.
Plan extra time at the resort. You are not going. I mean, I will just say I use my balcony when I'm at that resort more than I use it at any other resort, really and truly. I honestly use my balcony more there than I do when I'm staying like at the Contemporary looking at the castle or at the Polynesian looking at the castle. There is something really unique and wonderful about those views, and you're going to want to spend some time at the resort.
Right. The balcony at Animal Kingdom Lodge reminds me of a veranda on a Disney cruise because you are going to get to see some really cool stuff, and it's not just a place to throw your swimsuit, you know, I hate when people do that on the rail. No, I mean, if you do, I'm saying, I mean, you know, but hey, you know, it doesn't got to look like a laundromat. You know, we don't have to have like the wire out on your balcony. Anyway. Okay. Karen's got a question in the inbox. She says back at Disney feedback. So she's got some feedback also from Friday's show. She says tuning back in to catch up the shows and the news now on things that got rolling again. Totally with you on your Trapper John reference, by the way. She says, I'm starved for worthy opponents in MASH trivia. Because remember I mentioned Trapper John? I can't remember why I did, but I did last Friday. She says, do you think fast passes are permanently out? Makes me a little nervous about standing in lines. Granted, I haven't been since 2017. We're supposed to go this year, but bumped it to 2022. The park reservation thing makes me a little nervous, too, especially when I think about trying to snag a boarding pass for Rise of the Resistance. If I only reserve studios for one day and I don't get a boarding pass that day, I'm sunk. I'm almost thinking to reserve the studios for 2 days to increase my chances and then try to count on park hopping to Epcot and not reserve that park. I don't know. Head spinning makes me a little crazy. You guys are the best. Karen, she says, not a Karen, in College Station, Texas. So that's pretty funny. There's just certain names, like, you know, like the digital assistant names. You probably don't want to have them. I mean, I know people have those names, but like every time somebody says your name, you know, it's probably like, it's 12:32 a.m. You know, it's like, it's crazy. Anyway, so yeah, Karen, that's funny. And Giga Maggie's. Okay, so let's see. First of all, I don't think fast passes are permanently out. You know, if I had to guess, we're going to get something like Max Pass when it comes back. I don't know. We don't know, Pam, but I bet you there will be some kind of virtual queues. The last thing they want is you standing in lines because you are clogging stuff up and you're not, you know, buying stuff in the stores. You're not dining. You know, you're kind of just, you know, not doing anything. They don't want that. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, your thoughts are.
You know, I think it's all very interesting. I know that people are very passionate about this on both sides. And I think that in the end, I'm content to trust Disney on this one and see where they take me. The situation is very different than when they introduced FastPass for the first time, right? we're just in a different circumstance, a different time. And I think it'll be really interesting to see where we go from where we are right now. I used FastPass to my advantage, and I know that we had many guests who were very happy with FastPass, that they were looking forward to being able to know that they had three rides that their family really wanted to experience, that they'd be able to experience with little to no wait. And that was important to them. And I absolutely, I see that. There are people who may have been more experienced with, the system prior to having FastPass, who feel like they would like to see, it continue the way it has. I think at some point, though, we will see some kind of virtual queue. And whether that is FastPass, whether that is MaxPass, or whether it's something else that they totally dream up, I'm interested to see where we go with it. And right. I know, like, having a new system is anxiety, provoking to folks, right? Because it's a whole nother system that they have to learn. But I will tell you, the park reservation system is not that much different than the FastPass system used to be. You're still planning to be in one park at a specific time. And this, I think that your strategy in terms of having two chances at Hollywood Studios and counting on hopping to Epcot is a good one.
And I think that's the thing, right, Ricky, is that, I've been really scared about that, that same situation with Rise. Like, I will make three, and they're hard to get. So, like, if you can get them right away, those are like golden, to have those three. If say you're down there for 6-7 days, you're going for a week. I'll put 3 days on Rise, or on, that's Freudian slip, right? Rise of the Resistance, no, Hollywood Studios, so that if I don't make it on day one, I can go for day two. Because chances are, I can probably, if I get Rise on the first day of my Hollywood Studios experience, which I shouldn't say that out loud. I'm not even going to say it out loud. But if you get it, then say day three or day four, where you put your second Hollywood Studios day, you can probably change that to either an Animal Kingdom or an Epcot. Usually those are going to be available most days. And probably. If not, you can hop. But the thing is, you're probably not going to get the studios late in the game. So you got to, I do that.
But I have seen it's been a lot more difficult to change, day of. So that may be one of those situations where you have a park hopper, and then that way you can at least go to Hollywood Studios and then park hop later. So that's an option too. So that's something to consider, because I don't think it's as easy to change, not as easy as it was to maybe change fast passes or things like that back in the day. I think that changing your park reservation is definitely a little more difficult to do now, closer, like way closer, like a couple days before, than it was, with
but I say don't just make one Hollywood Studios. Like, have a backup day just in case, at least double one your backup chances. Day, yeah. And I do three. In 7 days, I'll do three. Because the thing is,
I get it.
Studios has a lot to do either way, right?
It does.
Studios has
it does.
Great,
oh, absolutely.
It's a full day, multiple day park.
100% now at this point, there's so many e-tickets at Hollywood Studios that it's just ridiculous. Like,
it's so fun.
So many e-tickets. Yeah. So you definitely want to make sure that
they have
at least two or three.
And they have Wookiee pies, I think. So.
Not right now. They don't.
They did.
They have the Wookiee cookie. I don't know if the carrot cake cookie is back. But that's not considered a Wookiee pie.
Yeah. I got a Wookiee cookie, but there was hair in it. It was gross.
Yeah, that's different.
Anyway, last question of the day. It's from the inbox. Says, can you be my psychic?
Oh.
Yes, I can. Okay. Yeah, it's a good show. It says, hey, all. My family and I were so disappointed that we had to cancel our younger daughter's third birthday trip last year from September 15th to the 22nd. So we rescheduled our stay for her fourth birthday with the exact same dates. Unfortunately, neither my husband nor I had given any thought last year to being there for the 50th anniversary when we rescheduled our trip. Prior to the park's closing, we were looking forward to Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, Space 220, etc. that would have been open before our 9/15 of 2020 arrival. Now it seems like there are a number of refurbishments as well as new experiences that are opening or reopening specifically for the 50th celebration. I've heard of soft openings on both rides and restaurants in the past. I know you're probably not really going to be my psychic, but what are the odds that things will actually kick off a little earlier than 10/1? Now, a second odds question. We love, and there's a lot of O's and a lot of V's, BOMA. What are the odds Jumbo House reopens? See, I like these kind of, I like these kind of questions because and it came in just less than a week ago. This wasn't something from like forever ago. We are actually scheduled to stay at a Savannah room in the DVC side for our special birthday trip, but have been emotionally preparing myself that we may wind up at Kidani instead. Thanks for your help. I always enjoy listening to the question shows, but really love hearing the answers to these questions. Marina. Well, first of all, guess what? Jumbo's going to be open. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And you know what? I think BOMA's going to be open. Yeah, I think. Maybe.
Who knows what kind of way it's open, though? I mean, they may do the family style meal at this point.
I think so, they will. But I mean, I think it'll be. Yeah. I bet you Jico will be open for sure. I would probably say Jico.
They haven't really been opening a lot of the signature ones, though, yet.
I think they will there. I don't know. Seriously, I have no idea. But I would say if I had to put a $10 bet on it, I would say, yes, I will totally bet $10 on Jico being open. BOMA's a little bit more of a challenge because of it being a buffet. But I think they could get creative because it's pretty popular. And it's a big hotel. Pam? Okay, thoughts on that real quick, because then we'll jump into closing out with the 10-1 stuff, because I think that's a unique situation. What do you think about Animal Kingdom Lodge restaurants?
I think that they've been slow in opening up the signature restaurants. So I think it'll be, you know, I think they need another restaurant open there. I will say that. And I think Mara needs to be open consistently all the time. I think right now we're still only seeing it for breakfast, right? I don't think that it's open for dinner too.
I think it's breakfast and either lunch or dinner. It's open for two of the three.
I think right that we'll need to have it open the whole time.
Yeah, totally. When the hotel opens. Yeah.
Yeah. So And when you think about it, too, here's the thing. I don't think BOMA, especially when we're going to look at, like, they're still spacing folks at the restaurants, right? BOMA, to me, doesn't feel like that huge of a restaurant. It's open. It's very open. Mm-hmm. But I don't think of it as having that many tables. Maybe I'm just not, like, thinking of it right. The other thing that they could always open up is Victoria Falls, which they have been good about opening up many of the lounges and maybe serving some food there, too. So if I had to put my money on it, I would put it on Victoria Falls and say that I think we'll see the lounge open. My $10. That's my $10, Mike.
Yeah, I think from a serving standpoint, Jico's easy. I know it's a signature, but, like, it's a straight restaurant. I think the buffet thing, especially at BOMA, is a challenge because they had so many. What made BOMA was how the variety. Like, right? Yeah. I mean, family style, you definitely have to condense into, like, probably your most popular items.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when you have, it's easy to do when you go from, like, 25 to maybe 12, right? Mm-hmm. But I think at BOMA, you're probably going from, like, 60 items that people like. Like, how do you figure out what 12 out of those 60? Because I think everybody goes to BOMA
because we all have different favorites.
My chowder.
And if they did not have zebra domes, I mean, you thought the riots for noodles was bad? Forget it. The riots for zebra domes.
The beauty will flip out.
Yes, exactly.
What? So. You think people on social media would get upset? No, it never happened.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so I hate to be the bearer of bad psychic news, but I just think that because it is the 50th anniversary, and because they want to surprise and delight, a soft opening would kind of let the air out of the balloon a little bit early. I don't know, Ricky, what do you think on that?
As much as I hate to say it, too, and I think under any other circumstance, they may have soft opened. But because it's the 50th, I also don't think we're going to see a soft open for Ratatouille. I mean, if that was the case, heck, I think they would have soft opened by now. You know what I'm saying? Like, are they would have soft opened? Yeah, because, I mean, I think it's pretty well done. So, you know, they really could have opened it at any time. They just chose the first because it is the 50th. So, gosh, I really don't think that they're gonna have soft opens for that. And as far as Space to 20, there is no official date yet. So we really don't know when Space to 20, the guess has been October 1st, but I mean, it could open sooner rather than later. And now that I'm saying this, they're probably going to have made the announcement. Space to 20 is opening in August.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm just saying. because there have been signs that it is getting ready to open sooner rather than later. So yeah, it's probably going to open in August at this point, because I'm saying it now that it's not going to be open. But yeah, I'm still waiting for Space 220 like everybody else.
I'm telling you, man, my flight suit's it's pressed. It's ready to go. Like I'm, I got the shoes, everything ready. Last thing, Pam, as we close this out. So your thoughts on this. But I think here's what I think, though, what they're going to do. They're going to do like a lot of press stuff right up to the October 1st, maybe like the 29th, 30th. Because they're going to want to get the word out about this 50th celebration as many platforms as possible. They're going to have all the news media from all, you know, everybody that can get there. This is a kind of unique situation because usually you see journalists from Japan and, you know, Australia and every corner of the globe. I don't know if that'll still be possible come late September, but I think it's going to be a media blitz. They're going to hold off and then bam, October 1st, they're going to be rolling for this 2-year celebration probably. What do you think?
That's what I think too. I think that the celebration is something that Disney fans are going to want to come to. And mm-hmm. I think they are going to want to draw folks in for that, right? Really and truly, I think they will. And I think it's going to be one of those things that if you are a Disney fan, and or even if you're just a casual Disney fan, not a diehard Disney fan, this is going to be one of those things that you want to bring your family to because you want to be able to say, we visited during this. Mm-hmm. And you really are. You're going to experience some serious FOMO if you don't get to Walt Disney World during this celebration. That's the message that's going to be out there. You're going to see it on social media. Mm-hmm. You're going to see it through Disney. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it from us as fans. You just are. And not only are we going to be there, we're going to be sad when we're not there the rest of the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just going to be that kind of thing. There's so many things for us to celebrate more than ever during this celebration. So it's kind of a culmination of Disney celebrating and just the world in general celebrating to getting back to the business of being normal.
Agreed. 100%.
But now you're making me feel terrible because I'm going solo for the October 1st trip.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that you'll go other times during the celebration. But yeah.
Oh yeah, I totally will. I'm just saying, was I supposed to bring my family? Because I just booked that as a solo. Okay. Anyway.
I did too. Don't worry.
Because I'm like, we're doing podcast stuff. It's going to be fine.
Exactly. Not stuff you don't need to come. Don't worry about it.
Madhouse. You don't want to be in the Magic Kingdom on October 1st. Like, I love that stuff. You're going to be like, oh, it's crazy. You know, it's good crazy. Anyway, yeah, great questions. And if you want to send those into the inbox, we'd love those. Send those to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And thanks to everybody who hangs out with us every Monday on the live chat. We appreciate that. We record usually around 5:45 Eastern or so on Facebook and YouTube on Monday. So drop in next week. And we'd love to hang out with you. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'll get you down there the rest of 2021. The good news is, here's the thing. If you can't get there on October 1st, it's okay. Guess what? Ratatouille's Restaurant Adventure. I can never remember the ride. Ratatouille's Excellent Adventure.
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure.
Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Correct. I've never seen the movie. That's my problem. Is what? I don't watch movies. The thing
I know
is,
you don't, but geez.
I know, because that's why I think when you say Luca, I think lives on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. I don't know the movie. Anyway, the thing is, October 1st, the ride's going to be awesome. But you know what? If you can't get down until November 2nd, still the same ride. Still going to be as awesome. Even if you go next January, still the same ride. Going to be just as awesome. It doesn't get, you know, things. Pirates of the Caribbean, is it just as awesome now as in the 70s? Absolutely. Maybe more awesome. You know, you got Red there now. You know, bossing people around. Things get better. All right. So anyway, you want to go down, we're going to take care of it. Disney Cruise Line. Hey, we can book all the way through September. No, not September, December now of 2022. My brain's got to get reprogrammed. Things are changing so fast, it's hard to keep up. You want to do Halloween on the high seas in 2022? That's in play right now. The Christmas cruises, those are in play. I can't believe we're talking about Christmas 2022, but it is available. And remember, booking cruises, the earlier you get in, the better price you get and the better stateroom selection you get. So just swing by the Magic for Less. All that information's there, themagicforless.com. Fill out the quote form while you're there. We promise we'll take great care of you. Even if it's just conversation to see if this could possibly work, we'll run some numbers, availability, we'll have the discussion, we'll get rolling for you. So check them out over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link if you didn't get your fill on Prime Days the past couple of days. It still works. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, thank you to our patrons for supporting all this stuff, all these great questions, all these psychic predictions. Yes, Yes, Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo House will be open. That's because of our patrons. They power our psychic abilities. Thank you for doing that. And you also get that that Mike in the Midwest every Thursday as well. If you want any information on the Patreon, just visit patreon.com/BRGuestPodcast. Follow us on social media and Instagram and Twitter on BRGuestMike and at BRGuestPod. And, of course, YouTube and Facebook for all the live video information. And also Sunday night, we'll be together again, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, Facebook and YouTube, you, me, and Scotty G, and we'll take your phone calls. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. And guess what? On Friday, we're talking ice cream. It's the first official week of summer. It's the first Friday of summer on Friday. And what better? We have a rule around our house. Every Friday, we get ice cream. So that's what we're talking about. Nice. Walt Disney World or here. Sometimes it's Dairy Queen.
I like this rule.
Sometimes it's Silky. Sometimes it's Andy's. We don't care. We get ice cream every Friday, and we're going to talk about ice cream this Friday, so be back with us right there. Until then, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.